The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation. Foundation.
The Foundation with Hearts Grant is brought to you by Alive, Bahama Odds and Ends, Bahamas Building and Fire, Burger King, Central Bank, The Cleveland Clinic, Commonwealth Bank, Epic Battery, Marco's Pizza, Nassau Cruise Port, Pinder Tao, Prince Masters, and Ron's Electric Motors.
Every time he asks, he say no. She say no. I can bring you lobster. Indeed. Some coopers and jacks. His wife say no. I come in up early. She say no. I come in right back. She hey. Say no.
On a ramp and try them, kick back and relax. So Sammy say, let's go tomorrow. Foley say, you sure? Every act if you ask your wife, he say, don't say it no more. They say, Sammy can't go.
Indeed.
Every time he asks,
his wife say no.
More he beg and plead,
she say no.
He fall on his knees,
she say no.
I can bring you lobster,
indeed.
Some snappers and jacks,
his wife say no.
I come in home early,
she say no.
I come in right back,
she say no.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation, live and in full effect. Beautiful day. Grateful to be in your company. Always grateful to jam the way that we are and do our thing, man. And we are out here in the land of the living, giving praise. I'm so happy for the rain last evening. I don't know if it rained around where you were, but all evening, all night last night, it rained. And I know that my grass is absolutely, and all the flowers and whatnot, they're happy for it, right? So we're happy for that. Guys, if you're celebrating your birthday, I want to say happy birthday to you. We're in the month of June now. So all those persons celebrating a birthday, I want to say happy birthday to you guys, being able to be out there and doing your thing in the 6th month of the year as we are at the midway point. For the end of the year, I feel like this year is going by fast, and I don't want to jinx it, you know, a little superstitious. But to see the murder count where it is, maybe I did jinx it. I didn't want to jinx it. But I was not necessarily, I want to say I'm pleasantly surprised. It's appalling if one person is taken out, snuffed out. But to know that the trend that existed prior has placed us in a position where we were deep into the 50s at one point, you know, in some years, by the midpoint of the year, deep into the 50s, almost the 60s. And we're hoping that persons are considering pulling back from these particular things. All right, got to shout out my good, decent people over at AFS Insurance, agents and brokers. They get everything laid out for you. Make sure you go down there and check them out. They're located number 407 Blue Hill Road South, top of the month. Don't ride dirty on the government road. Make sure you go down there, get yourself taken care of as it relates to your insurance, and don't confine yourself solely to the insurance of being able to get your car taken care of, but they have some great packages available. Give them a call, find out more information, 341-1AFS, 341-1AFS. We've been talking about those things and trying to be able to get it done. Also, I got some information at the Bahamas Baptist University College. Bahamas Baptist University College is having a sort of a grill out, right? Let me see if I can read the information and tell you exactly what's what. They're having this event, and they want to be able to have everyone to join in, to participate, to really join in for some of the great things that they're doing down in this particular space. And so I wanted to kind of push that out and let you guys know that also in this space, right? So let me pull up the information. I think it's going to be on June 22nd. Did she tell me June 22nd? Here we go. Let me pull it up and look at it and see exactly what's June 21st. Pulled Pork Festival, June 21st. So she's going to give me the depth and details about those particular things. This is the BBUC, June 21st. It's an amazing thing to see, and I want to be able to congratulate all those persons who have committed to not yielding to the hopes and expectations of what the government can do for you, but creating avenues to provide reciprocity in these areas, right? Yeah. Too long, traditionally, it has been just the souse and, you know, the stakeout and so forth and so on. But there are actual events and other persons who are entertainers are participating and helping persons getting to their goals. So I'm looking forward to this, this Pulled Pork Festival. Just kind of hang out. I think it's a nice vibe. Summertime, you get your slacks on, your slippers on, you're relaxing, you're sitting outside, you get your hat on and chilling out with some folks. It's going to be the dead of summer, right? The beginning of summer, officially. So it should be at least 3,000 degrees. And so during this time, you can kind of sit out with your families and friends amongst the smoke and really be able to have a good conversation with persons. So I look forward to that. I look forward to those things. Got to shout out Richard Johnson again for the event that he held last weekend, over the weekend, and really be able to say that it was a wonderful event. I got to say that to you. And this, let's be decent, this has nothing to do with this kind of competitive nature, his former position with the Free National Movement, nothing to do with this. This is what, how I view it, entrepreneurialism. This is a young man who's decided to be able to do something, who's tried in some other areas, and he's found significant success with this, with being able to utilize what he has in his hands. He's in Nassau. There is a void that exists in here with a cultural expression of what is represented in West End. He transposed that, transported that, brought that here in Nassau. He filled the niche. He filled the void. And I want to commend him for that. So it's a wonderful thing to be able to do that. Had a great time. I didn't get a chance to see KB. My wife was asking me. So I hear we could go see KBA. I said, baby, I'm not going nowhere today. I been out yesterday, right? And guess what? I cut the grass, washed car, did every. I was bus up. So I was exhausted. And I just wanted to kind of chill out on the Sunday. And that's what I did. But I want to congratulate him and congratulate all those persons who are thinking along the lines of entrepreneurialism, who are thinking along the lines of independence, who are thinking along the lines of being able to separate yourself from the expectation and the groveling before government and begging them to give you something. And you're thinking creatively. You're thinking creatively, using innovation to be able to tap into that next tier for yourself and your families. So I want to be able to say that. All right, guys, pick up your Guardian newspaper. All the information's in there. Man charged with father's murder. Teenager charged with accessory after the fact. I think he got like a $9,500 bail, the minor. And the 23-year-old indicated, because I read the story in the Tribune, but the 23-year-old indicated that he really like forced the younger person. He forced his younger, the younger person to be able to do this. Ferguson stood before the magistrate, Algernon Allen Jr., charged with a 16-year-old boy. In proceedings that the closed, it was closed to the press, but I read the story in the other paper, and it's an amazing thing. I really want to be able to know exactly what's what. We've been listening to this story, we've been watching its development, we have heard on social media, you know, and other places what's happened. We would have heard stories about the young man being able to go to Acklands. I don't know. I'm waiting for all this information to come out in this the trial for us to be able to identify and see exactly what's what. This is, to me, it appears to be a significant crime of passion. And we don't know the backstory. I don't know. It sounds like the young man denied the sort of the idea of being able to have legal representation. And he's going to have to wait to be able to apply for bail in the Supreme Court to find himself in that position. I just, you know, this is crazy. And so, you know, on one hand, we're saying that, you know, the murders is at a position where we are rather content. We're content with this sort of an idea that the numbers are low, but it's only in comparison. This is not celebration that, you know, 36, 37, 38 persons have been murdered this year. That's not celebration. But simply saying that the numbers are low, and we're looking at those particular things. And so I'd like to hear more about this particular crime and the passions associated with it and sort of the provocation. What was the tipping point? What was the proverbial straw that broke the camel's back for this to happen? What happened over the years that brought you to this particular point? Where did this rage and anger come from, even though you separated in those particular areas? It's crazy how people go through these things. I just want to kind of be decent with you. Three men shot. I tell you, I talk too fast. Three men shot. Police officers investigate on the scene of the shooting in Pinewood Gardens yesterday afternoon. So I'm hoping that everything. Emirates, Bahamas Air sign an interline agreement for the memorandum of understanding. We talked about, well, we didn't, but we just talked about the Emirates and their access to be able to get to certain markets. So I'd like to be able to find out more about this also. Mitchell pushes back against the criticism for the Freedom of Information budget. And being able to talk about that, Progressive Liberal Party Chairman Fred Mitchell yesterday accused the Organization for Responsible Governance, ORG, the government watchdog organization, of being overly critical of the government's lack of spending on efforts to fully implement transparency initiatives. In the statement, the ORG raised concerns over the fact that the 2025-2026 budget only allocates $140,000 to the Freedom of Information Office, despite Information Commissioner Keith Thompson's. We talked about this. Could there be any expectation? Can there be any expectation that the government of the day would actually take on this kind of position to pour into that? Could there be any expectation? I doubt it. So decides the despite Information Commissioner Keith Thompson's past estimate that it would take $1 million to complete the establishment of the unit, ORG also raised concerns over the budgetary concerns, over the budgetary allocations of the Office of the Ombudsman and the Independent Commission of Investigations, among other key departments of officers. I got to be able to bring on Matt. Matt and I is going to have a good conversation, and I'd like to know whether or not there's any true expectation for this administration, whose lead mouthpiece in the person of Fred Mitchell, who has taken on a stark position, very strong, early in this and his administrative tenure that he has. Early, he took on this kind of a very strong position and indicated that this was an FNM thing. This isn't us. This is not, we don't believe in that, in so many words. This is not something that we commit ourselves to. We don't necessarily believe in that. Is there any expectation that they look at this with all seriousness and apply themselves to being able to see this office transformed? I know Matt's responsibility. Matt, I got to give you a call. I know your responsibility is to relentlessly advocate for these particular things, but if the preamble for transformation in this particular area where the administration that sits in this particular office has already said to you, listen, we're not necessarily concerned about that. Though they need $1 million for the transformation, this is to appease the watchdog. This is to appease the niche audiences that continues to be able to advocate for transformation in these particular areas. Here, take 10%. just a little bit more. Take that here. And not necessarily see the transformation that we're looking for. So I'd like to talk about that. I'd like to talk with you guys today about these particular things that's happening. The Grand Bahama newspaper is in the paper today, hopefully hopeful but anxious for action. This is Grand Bahamians React to the government's new budget. And I know a lot of Grand Bahamians have taken on this kind of a strong position to do this. And I hope that you see that, I'm hoping that you've seen this kind of anticipation, this hope, this perspective has shifted from the government's hope into the hope of the people. And this is not because we don't believe in governments, but we can only judge you, the government, as an entity. We can only judge you by your past performance. We can only judge you by the fruits that you've yielded in past years. We're not talking about the FNM. We're not talking about the PLP. We're talking about the government of the Bahamas, who have not given good fruit in the season that it was due. Yeah, my God, if you was a tree and Jesus was passing, you would have been dried up. And this is the issues that we're having in this country. I want you guys to join me in conversation 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the family of islands, 242-300-5720. Hit me up, 422-4796. Quick break, guys. Going to be right back after this.
Foundation. You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Living paycheck to paycheck. At Fidelity, we can help you take control of your money, build savings, and create a financial future you're proud of. And we'll do it free of charge. Transform your financial future with our coaching sessions today. Make that move. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
The foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all, please forgive me. My baby girl, I don't know, between her and my son, they are a little sniffly. They just had the other issue the other day, right? And they're a little sniffly. And so I'm sniffly. So please forgive me, right? But we're here, we're talking today, and there's something that I was watching news last night. So I was watching Eyewitness News, and I saw Sabas on. And Sabas starting to take on this kind of position to talk about some stuff. Didn't listen to the entire story, but then I open up the paper, both papers today, and I see Sabas Bastian being able to use Consider This. Is it time that we rethink what we pay our leaders? Right? And then he gives pick up the paper. It's in the Guardian newspaper, right in the editorial section. You can be able to see that the editorial and the letters to the editor. You can be able to see that. And he's speaking about how Singapore came from nothing. And now they're in a sort of a position where top officials are getting some $800,000 per year and being able to find himself in that sort of a position and the importance of being able to assist. Now, we've been having this conversation for a long time. And it's peculiar that Sabas would take on this position with his affiliation as an ambassador for the government of the Bahamas. It seems as though this information has been coming through strategically. We've seen the last administration try to be able to come to the forefront and talk about this right out the gate. You remember this? They wanted to take a vacation and then they wanted to get an increase in salary simultaneously, right? And we saw that And whilst we made an argument that members of parliament need to be paid more and need to be paid better, it was not the time. And I don't know if this is the time. I don't. I think you're going to have to diversify your own portfolio and figure out how you can make your money yourself. And I'm hoping that the people don't have to suffer as a result of that. But in the event that over the next 365 days and we find ourselves in the surplus and we get to that particular surplus that you have projected, let's just be very clear, the surplus that you have projected, I think it's time for us to be able to have a conversation then. Two things. One, I think it's time for us to be able to put the PLP back in this position of office and find them being able to rule again, because they have done something that we've been anticipating for a very long time. I want to see you turn around NIB. I want to see you turn around Bahamas Air. I want to see you do these particular things, and then we consider these things. Yeah, if you want to talk solely economically and how you could be able to bring money to the forefront and money on the table, yeah. So this projected conversational theoretical surplus that you're talking about, if we could be able to see the tangibility thereof over the next year, the fiscal year, over the next year, and transformation is introduced to our society, I think it's time to have this conversation. Yeah. Yeah. Because you're being responsible, you're being proactive, you're doing the things that matter, and you're actually turning things around. We should give you more money. But this lackadaisical approach with not being corruption, with not being able to deal with, you're not dealing with immigration issues. The innovation that you continue to be able to talk about and the inclusion that you talk about is, it's few and far between. I don't think it's time for that. And I don't know whether or not Sabas, in his particular capacity, has the jurisdiction. Can I say that? Is it like that? I don't know whether or not he has the political or the social jurisdiction. He's already elevated to different tiers on the backs of the poor in our society. I didn't say he did anything illegal. I didn't say nothing to do with that. He has elevated him and his family and those persons that are close to him who benefit from that, have elevated significantly, not from production in society, but from providing an element of hope. And you buy into that. So that's it. He's facilitated an idea for you to be able to access and gamble, throw lots for your hope. So he's elevated to this position. Praise God for him. Praise God for him. But to talk about the men and women who have won a position based upon their convincing us that they can be the persons to trust to transform this country, they have not performed in this particular capacity. You know what, how much money you was making when you got in there? You know how much money it is when you get there? No one is indicated to us. Y'all didn't talk about this. We haven't had this conversation. We haven't discussed this. We haven't said to you, hey, listen, if you do this, this, and this, we consider being able to give you some more money. Sabas is not the person to put out there and have a conversation about this. This is it. Sabas, we love you. We love you. But there ain't going to be no big bang for the MPs. They might as well just go to the big bang. Just indecency and in order. Not for these MPs, not right now. There needs to be transformation in our country. There needs to be transformation. We need to know that you're concerned about corruption that exists in the allegedly, significantly, in the Royal Bahamas Police Force. We want to see you dealing with that. We've seen our Minister of National Security take on this position of being able to defend officers. Yeah. So he's defending officers and taking on this kind of a posture to say that what they haven't done or what they shouldn't do. Monroe Defense Police over crime reporting. Right, this is it. This is in the papers today, but this is the Tribune.
National Security Minister Wayne Monroe has defended the Royal Bahamas Police Force approach to disclosing information for the public interest amid scrutiny over the force's recent reporting practices. Speaking yesterday, he had said while the police may not immediately release every detail to the public, all proceedings become accessible once cases reach judiciary. There is a relentless posture of being able to provide a defense, but no one is being able to give us transparency. There are some expectations that we have. We have sat quiet with our mouths tight for a long time. Whilst I like Sabas, I go on to all his own things, own talks. I like Sabas. Was innovation and being able to step out there and being able to tap into some things. I like that. To take on this ambassadorial position, I didn't fight you. Nobody say nothing to you. You understand your relationships and you understand politics that exist in this country. But in your advocacy, especially under the auspices of this particular government, to advocate to pay our politicians more at a time where there is no productivity. I just want to be decent with you. Little to no productivity. Transformative productivity. I'm not talking this incremental maintenance that we continue to be able to champion. Oh my God, we did the same thing. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about innovation and a sweeping shift towards true growth. We're not seeing that. And we're not seeing all hands on deck moving in that direction. You think we just can break you off money? Come on, man. Let's just be decent. As we have these kind of a conversations and talk about these things. I do not disagree. It's time for us to be able to look at these things. But let's create a stipulation. All right. If you all fix this, this, and this, we'll be able to. And I think that's a social construct. We have to say to them, there should be reciprocity. We have not received from our relationship in pouring into politics. We, as a nation, have not received from these people. I'm not talking about your goons and your political, those particular persons that are attached to the back of your heel in your party. I'm not talking about you take care of them. I'm talking about us as a nation. You talk about $100 million in Pinewood. You talk about an administrative error for $180 million in West Grand Bahama. And in no conversation have you said this is the reciprocal thing that we're going to be able to offer in these areas. None. And none of these conversations, you say, as a result of this, we recognize that we're pouring this money into this constituency. This is what we're seeking on time. Pinewood has gone through this, this, and this. We'd like to be able to take care of this. We'd like to forge a relationship with a company who's come to the government and we want to provide them opportunities to be able to get this, this, and this, whatever. I don't know. Who knows? I don't know. I'm simply saying to you that there is no reciprocity. There's no give and take. There's no yin and yang. There is only take, take, take. This is perpetual excavation. And you're seeking to come back to us and ask for more and give us nothing. Give us 12% tax. Then you shave it, you give us 7% tax. Then you give us 12% tax. Then you shave it back down to 10%. And then you negotiate and say, well, we did well. We bring it down to 5%. But you're still taking from us. We don't win in none of this. In none of this we win. And these are the kind of conversations that we need to have. Sabas, I like you, brother. I don't know you. I don't know you. I've never met you. I don't know if I even shake your hand before in passing. I've never met you. Right? I have participated in what I've done as it relates to own talk. Even going to those particular events, I would have found out about some AI opportunities with ChatGPT, and I would have gone off and get myself certified in those areas. As a result of what you would have done, I think you should just stick to innovation. I think you should stick to the introduction of new concepts and ideas that exist externally and allow those of us, a niche audience, who seek to be able to move in a different direction to tap into that. But to have a conversation with a parent, lackadaisical leaders who are only concerned about what these three people are going to do, what four people are going to do, and both the FNM and the PLP, and advocate for 30-something of them who are not necessarily performing well to be able to get something, I think it's bananas. That's just Howard. It's just Howard. There are some people who are sitting in strategic positions right now in government that are doing well. Yeah. They got a couple government contracts. They got some good things lined up good. Just in the event that they don't win their constituency, they forge the relationships necessary so they could feed their families, even if this thing don't work out. They're doing well. They're proactive in their areas. But they're still slaves to the electorate's mindset during the time of an election. And so they're doing well. They're not out here crying about the little couple of dollars, but these lackadaisical ones who want to do everything else except their job. This is who you're advocating for. There's one telephone call. Let me take this call. Call on the line. Go ahead.
Hey, a pleasant good afternoon. How you doing, Howard?
Hey, what's up, Anton?
Right here, man. How you feeling?
Everything good, man. I'm a little stuffy, but all right.
All right. Cool. And good afternoon to the nation. It's interesting that you had... Boy, Howard. You know, that's not a bad laugh at all. I laugh because we need to have so many of these types of conversations, Howard, right? And I'm not getting into the aspect of the conversation with Ambassador being the right or the wrong person to bring the message forward, right? What I want to dig into is the fact that, yes, we do need a review, right? But, Howard, the conversation cannot just be about a review of salary. See, we need an entire rework or a revamp or a work over of the system, because the system is not working to the best benefit of the majority of Bahamians. It is not, Howard. It is still only working to the best benefit for a few selective Bahamians. We lack accountability in our system, Howard. Do you agree?
I agree with you.
We completely lack accountability. Look, in certain strategic places around the world,
I said in every tier of our society, we lack accountability from a governmental standpoint.
In strategic places around the world, Howard, and the nation, with responsibility in society comes a certain level of expectation, performance, and accountability for performance and lack thereof. You understand what I just said, right, Howard?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
We don't have that in the Bahamas.
No.
We don't have it at all. And being voted out at the polls is not the accountability that I'm speaking about. Because you're still spending real money. You're still having real consequences. You're still making bad decisions that sets the country back perhaps 5, 10, 15, 20 years
yeah.
in finances
yeah.
and resources. You understand what I'm saying, Howard?
Yeah.
So if we're going to have those kinds of conversations, Howard, we have to have those kinds of conversations, recognizing that accountability, performance, transparency, and anything that supports that order needs to be in place, inclusive of freedom of information, inclusive of having an ombudsman. Those things need to be in place, inclusive of campaign finance reform in a real way. You understand what I'm saying,
yeah,
Howard? Inclusive
of
looking at our outdated constitution, where we have at least 70-plus recommendations from the previous Christie-era administrative, appointed constitutional commissioner, where we are still lackadaisical in attempting to update our very laws that's supposed to be for the smooth running of our society, for the benefit of the people, Bahamian people in particular. But we are failing to do those things, Howard. Failing. My government that I support, inclusive.
Wow.
And people have the nerve to call your show in all of their rank hypocrisy. Because you have the intelligence to recognize the good and the not so good. And you have the integrity to speak about it. We have to do better, man, Howard. What'd you say?
I agree with you 100%, my brother. I appreciate
it. And let me end with this, Howard.
Yeah.
Was there ever any announcement that you're aware of publicly? Because I'm certainly not enough, I'm aware of it, whether it be in Parliament or otherwise, of any national urban development plan.
No.
For the Bahamas?
No, it was the national development plan. We've seen
that. We don't even have that.
No. Gowan Bo and others were part of this particular board over.
Yes, they worked on it.
Yeah, they worked on it. Right. But it was never implemented. It was never, founded and really being able to be incorporated in what was
it
done.
It was never enshrined in law.
No. No.
It was never brought forward by an act of parliament.
No.
So it has no teeth.
But
no
it goes
bearing.
Right back to what you said. This is a lack of maintenance and understanding the importance of being able to retain our position. From a national standpoint, they don't do that.
You know how one of the biggest problems we have in this country, we have a culture of non-performance, right? We have a culture of non-performance, right? That is aided by a lack of accountability, which is why things don't get better in the country. Things just, they can't just continually is kicked down the road to the next administration.
You don't want me to have this conversation today.
And no one is held accountable.
You don't want me to have this conversation.
Which is why they're allowed to do it.
You don't want me to have this conversation today.
Why do you think I'm bringing it up, Howard? I want us to have this conversation.
A culture of non-performance is wild. I got
to
get into it.
I want us to have this real conversation because it's necessary.
I appreciate you.
Especially as we heat up going into an election cycle.
Let's talk about it. I appreciate
you, my brother. Thank you for the opportunity, my brother. God bless and continue the great work.
Thank you, my brother. I appreciate you. I can say this to you. Anton called me this morning, and he asked me whether or not I listened to... I was dealing with my kid. My daughter, she messed up a shirt, so I had to go back home to change her shirt. So, it threw the rhythm off of what I do on a day-to-day basis. But... he calls me and he asks me whether or not I had an opportunity to be able to listen to Obie Ferguson, I think it's Obie, on Dwight's show. I didn't have a chance. I did not have a chance to listen in. And I don't know whether or not I wanted to listen in. This is Howard Grant now. I don't know whether or not I wanted to listen in. I think from my capacity and responsibility as I sit in this seat, I need to be able to be objective in this position, but I struggle and I'm tossed. Between that position because I was a part of the hotel. I was a part of the hotel and I've watched for decades this deterioration of the union's strength and position in our country. I've watched it. I've watched it from Grand Bahama and the participants in Grand Bahama, and I've watched it locally here in Nassau when I was a part of the same system when I came here in Nassau. And when we start to talk about this culture of non-performers, I think the general body of people have, and I said this, the general body of people from the hotel standpoint and from our country standpoint, the electorate, and those persons who are voters, those workers, the working class people, they identify, and I can say this and then we can come back on the next slide, they've identified the big bad Brad approach to... a boisterous, loud agitation, big mouth. And so they think big mouth means advocacy. But a lot of these persons don't necessarily have the intellect to sit around the table and understand the art of the deal. I'm not talking about Obie Ferguson. He is an old soldier in this. He is top tier in what he does. But there are dispensations of people after Obie that have absolutely no idea what they're doing. And they're standing in a position for thousands and thousands of people. Illiterate. oblivious. I say that you're stupid. And when I say illiterate, I don't mean that you are dumb, but you're not informed as to the responsibility that you have. But you're getting out here and you're showing faith. Imagine the entire body of people that follow you fall in a ditch. Just want to be decent with you. We've seen that in every subsect of our society, especially in politics. We got to raise the bar. Break. We're going to take a break, guys, to get the news and be right back after this.
The Foundation with Howard Grant. We'll be back right after this.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
The foundation. The foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant and your company. It's difficult to have these conversations, I might as well tell you. It's hard to do this because you don't want to step on anybody's toes. It's hard to talk about these things because, you know, you speak like this and you have people that you envision. Because I've been doing this long enough. I told you that. When I came from Grand Bahama, listening to the radio every day, you're listening to Artland, you're listening to Steve, you're listening to Juan, you're listening to the radio every day in Grand Bahama. You don't have immediate access to being able to do that, so now you're tethered to your television in the middle of the day or whenever their shows come on, and you're listening to Channel 969 and a 970 or whatever you're listening to, just to be able to see what's happening around the country. And so you take this information in, because I'm not in the city of Nassau. And so you take this information in, and then you participate. You participate in calls. I used to call from Grand Bahama. You participate in letters to the editor. You participate in sending, I used to send Juan McCartney Facebook Messenger's thing, right? This was way back, right? So I would say, what about this? What about that, right? Guardian wasn't even 5 years old, right? When I was doing this stuff, right? So you look at that and you make this kind of a determination that these guys are smart. That's what you do. You're listening to them speak. They can articulate, it seems, world without end about these particular issues. And then I sit in this seat. And then I sit in this seat. And then I sit in this seat. Before I even sit here, I sit across from them with Juan McCartney, with others. Just being able to meet them. I mean, you know, I feel like a kid in a candy store. These are the guys I've been listening to for such a long time. And the worst thing is to ever meet your, this is what I heard people say, the worst thing is to ever meet your idol. Not that I idolize these people, but I'm just telling you the same. Anyone that you look up to, that it's a difficult thing to meet them because you have such a high expectation of them. And then they let you down with maybe the first seven words out of their mouth. And I often think about that for me when people meet me. I'm a regular Negro. Just want to let you know that. Don't look at me elevated. I just ask the questions. That's it. I met these men in strategic positions in the cabinet of the Bahamas at the time, in politics, in advocacy, in business, in all these particular areas. And these guys lack the wherewithal for sustainability. In the language of an advocate, in the language of an activist, in the language of a desire to be able to see national transformation for growth and development, but the truth of the matter is that there is an underlying slimy desire for self-interest and self-gratification. And this sort of an idea of being elevated independently, individually. There is no purpose. There is only a carnal pursuit. A lot of these guys have. A lot of them. And then you sit with them and you're only testing them. You think you're having a conversation. But they feel as though that this is an affront to their position, because why would you challenge me like this? Now, I'm talking about all of them. I can't be talking about all of them. There's some of them I have in high regard. I still hold them in high regard. But there are some of these guys out here that, especially some younger ones that I may know, that are now ascending to a position of politics, they haven't been tested. Not by the rule that existed in the 60s and the 70s. Yeah, because that's a level of conviction, of determination, of self-assurance that we need in our leaderships today. But what we have is, like Anton said, a culture of non-performers. And this is not just the Bahamas. This is around the world. Our leaders, they are enclosed, encapsulated, isolated in a silo of the information that exists in their immediate area. They don't know what is going on around them. That's why they can't necessarily bridge gap. There are men and women that I saw over the course of my time in the hotel that we used to look up to them, man. See? When you hear like a John Pinder and you hear him articulate and you see his monotone approach and his baritone, right? And how he being able to speak about these particular things, and you say, oh yeah, man, okay, this fella knows this. Then you meet him and he knows his stuff. So you like that, right? And so you're looking for him to always advocate for you. You're looking for him to be able to be the strong man in the room. You're looking for him to be able to take on these challenges. Him as an individual, you look at him. I've known O.B. Ferguson. I don't know him. In fact, when I first came to Nassau, I introduced myself to him. And I said, Mr. Ferguson, I'd like to help you. He said, how would you like to help me? I said, I went to his office right across the street from... he'll never forget. He'll never remember this. I went to his office right across the street from the hospital, the two-story building at the time. I think he moved. And I sat in his office. I mean, papers all over the place. But nonetheless, I went in there and in my mind, I wanted to become a part of trans. That's what I moved to Nassau for. It wasn't just for this sort of an idea of being able to jump into the economic fray and make money for my family. I wanted to participate. I want to be a part of something significant. That's what I come here for. I came here to help from a political standpoint with the DNA, and then I had to be able to give money, and the DNA kind of dwindled away, and they were inconsistent. I can't deal with this. I rented the hotel. I committed in the hotel to figure out if I could be able to work in that area, to see if I could ascend in those areas. I said, this don't make no sense. And then I presented myself to some guys, convinced me to become a part of the management union. And I presented myself to O.B. Ferguson. And I said, Mr. Ferguson, I could help you. I could do some research for you. I could help structure these particular things. I said, I ain't gonna be in the background. I just want to help you. I want to be able to understand this industry more. He said, well, what I can use you for? That's what he says to me. I said, whatever you need me to do, I'll do. Whatever you need me to do. I ain't looking for no money from you, Mr. Ferguson. I'm looking for nothing. I just want to, how can I help? But, you know, the old guard always thinks you come to take their job. And so I was rejected. I'm telling you, man, I want to participate with the elements that I have. But I've watched over time that the level of intellectual fortitude and the capacity to understand issues of the average Bahamian worker deteriorate over the course of leaderships since 2000, or maybe a little earlier. And now have those persons with the big bad Brad persona, the effect of being able to have a loud mouth, but have no understanding of the art of the deal, no understanding of the negotiation, no understanding of who sent you there when they sit at the table. So now this deal or this concept, this negotiation is being steered by the hotel and the representatives in that particular capacity and by the government. And so little to no significantly is being able to channel this. Now, I ain't talking about Belinda. Excuse me. I'm not talking about Belinda. She's my girl. And she's been doing this at a high level for a long, long, long time. I interviewed her one time, and I took her to lunch. Right there, we had an interview over by Tiki Hut, and we did lunch right after. And even off camera, she was able to give me such depth and insight as to the commitment that she's made in the midst of the pandemic and how she is relentlessly dedicated to this advocacy in these areas. I knew that she was the person for the job. She was the right man for the job. But we don't have that. There's a culture of non-performers in politics. They believe that a good smile and a loud mouth is an understanding of what's happening in the communities and the constituencies, and they place themselves in these positions, and they do not perform. They do not perform. They're looking for a formula, an idea, a rhythm. They're looking for something to happen, even from a divine standpoint, that could give them a solidified, recognized position and hold them there. That's it. That's all you're looking for. You ain't working. You ain't working. And you don't even have the foresight to understand what needs to be. You're sitting there waiting for the central government to tell you what to do. And if somebody else from a different constituency does something and you see those constituents or those persons catch on to it and they participate, then you duplicate that. Y'all are just relentless copycats. I would hate to sit inside of some of y'all in school. I had to have all kind of cardboard box around me so you don't cheat off of my paper. That's what you are. This is the culture of non-performers in our country. And that is happening over almost. You're looking for somebody with a big mouth who does row, but ain't got no intellectual insight. They're not studied to show themselves approved. And that's why. 323-6232-325-4316. 325-4259 anywhere for the family of violence. 242-300-5720. Hit me up 422-4796. Caller, go ahead.
Good afternoon, Mr. Grant.
What's up, my brother?
I was right here listening to your monologue. You know, Howard, guardian of a plethora of hosts that I enjoy. You know, the thing is, yeah, good contribution, Anton. The thing is, people, like Anton has made good contributions, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes a good contribution. I don't know why is it that people would always politicize it if it's non-political and it's generally speaking about what he's saying. What Anton talked about was really truthful. Sometimes I might say aphoristic, because you kind of deny what he's saying. Also, I want you sometime next week, or whenever you could, the same thing that he brought about the land reform, because I'm a bit weary. Remember they spoke too fast about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be scrutinized more, and we really look at that for what it really is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, from your hometown in Freeport, as it relates to corruption, right, Howard?
Mm-hmm.
I had to ask the question, you know, sometimes some hosts really believe I look for them to opine or say something. When I call and I say something and they don't say anything, it shows me where their minds are at. You understand me, Mr.
Mm-hmm,
Grant?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not looking, you know, on this pathetic prison planet. I'm not looking for any form of congruence from people once I know I stand alone in my convictions and what I'm saying, you know, Mr. Grant. Pandemic, and I will continue to do so now. So I enjoyed Lang's show yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Lang was talking selflessly and in educating the public. Mostly, really and truly, when it comes to political reviews or outlook, I like to listen to you online.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And Aaron also. You know, because I enjoy the critique that's non-biased. People, you know, Howard, you're pretty fair in your analysis.
I try to be.
Right?
Yeah.
And the thing is, Howard, you know, Warren McCarthy, I give him, remember when Warren came up and saw an eagle eye, Warren cited the thing about the Orban deal? And it was something that Warren had observed. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. So now let's look at this. Let me get this over quick. I was wondering why is it that the coroner's inquest, the re-ruling of the reversing from the suicide to the homicide because somebody came alongside. in the young officer in Port Howe, Freeport, you know where it is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's in the papers, but nobody spoke about it. His father has a voice note, his father saying, Ray, 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 and, you know, condolences. But what I'm saying is nobody's talking about this. So my question then becomes is, given the contention, right, because you have some testifying and we don't know what's going on, why is it that the RB, the Royal Bahamas Police Force, right, don't go to the ends of the earth to find out what happened to their fellow comrades? In numerous instances, we could go back from the sergeant in Fox Hill, somebody knocked on his door about 2 decades ago. We could go back to Clark after dark. We could go back to numerous situations, the dubious, maybe the thing about Blatch, something else, Hatch, when a guy went to the station. What I'm saying is, if I'm an officer and somebody kills me, you don't think I want my fellow comrades to go to the ends of the earth?
They should.
The voice notes that you heard.
They should.
But this officer is not locked up or contained at the barracks. He's out on interdiction or half pay, and he's moving. He was a high-ranking officer. He should have gone on the force. But nobody sees the dangers of this, Howard Grant.
Mm.
You understand me?
Yeah.
All right, so, you know, we're swimming in an ecosystem of corruption. We're not hearing anything from the National Security Minister, something sinister, or the new COP. The public, you know, so if an officer could be allegedly saying these type of things on a voice note, how could I feel comfortable as the public coming into any interaction, whether it be a traffic stop or some row or some disagreement with an officer as to, you know, and then they are turning off their cameras when they see fit now, Howard. So what's the point?
That's heavy.
No, but I'm saying they're doing it. Listen, anyhow, forget that, man. You know, the thing is, people really don't know who the enemies are. That's what I hate about the Negro, this passive aggression. But anyhow, as it relates to this $100 million flooding program, I mean, what do they want to do to get rid of the flooding in Pirate, right, Howard?
Right.
I wouldn't comment on it because I haven't seen the contract, but I mean the proposal. But what I'm saying is, Howard, there's no way it could cost $100 million. Not that I called and gave a simple fix.
They say roads and drainage now. It ain't only the drainage. It's roads and drainage. Then they break. They break it down.
Your brains. How could it only be roads and drainage? How could? What I'm saying is, we're using your brains.
But if you use my brain, you can come up with a different reason why they're using it.
Yeah, but you using your brains. Why you could dig up the whole road when you only need a pipe with a certain diameter to go this, and you need a catchment area, and you need to just use a system. You see, the pumps would be the most expensive thing and the labor. But you really think it'll cost $100 million to do a quick fix, Howard?
No.
And you still have the same problem?
No.
You haven't done any. What I'm saying is, this is scientific, Howard. You need to keep an eye on rainfall.
Yeah.
You need to keep an eye on the capacity of the voice motion machine and the capacity of the pumps, gallons per minute.
Yeah.
And so all of these things need to be calculated and done. So I don't think they have the expertise, but it takes time. So you just come up with a figure as quick as that.
Just like that. And such a round figure.
Me in doing trade work. Whether it was electrical, whether it was working on boilers, chillers, pumps, reverses, both the system, even in doing a policy. Not so much a policy, but there's always cost overruns because sometimes when I tell someone the price of something, when I yell down the chair, I see all kind of problems. Probably termites, something else has to be done. It needs a sponge, it needs this. So there will always be cost overruns in trade work. I understand that. But, you know, this is where the freedom of the information interfaces with what somebody says versus the status quo ministers and politics being the arbiters of truth. So once you don't have the Freedom of the Information Act, I'm not of the the thing is, the minister who called the public the chartering class, it's amazing that he doesn't realize that he is a part of the chartering class. He's at the top of the chartering class. And maybe he should go have some children so he could care about the Bahamas. Give thanks.
Okay, 52. Listen, as I listen in and we contribute and we have these kind of a thing, you can't use my brain for nothing. I might as well tell you. You ain't gonna like what come out of my mouth if you use my brain. Now, I could use my brain. And I could ask questions uniquely. But $100 million. And I go back to Katrina. And I go back to when the levees broke. And I go back to the prices of those levees. Then we add inflation. And we identify these things and how they was able to isolate the water and pump those particular things out and the elements that they use in those areas. And understanding that we're not fixing a unique problem to Earth. This is not unique to Earth. This is not unique to our condition. I guarantee you, before the Pinewood is fixed, they will take... Did y'all see that avalanche that fell over, I think it was the Swiss Alps? Was it Swiss Alps? It was an avalanche that rolled over, I think, over 300 and some homes They anticipated that it would break and wiped out an entire community, right? These people aren't dead. They left their homes. But the avalanche happened, and now, boom, all their homes, everything's under rubble. I guarantee you their homes will be excavated and fixed up before they fix that problem in Pinewood. Yeah, that's a level of confidence I have in our leadership. And this is nothing to do with PLP. This is just Negro leadership. I don't know whether or not it'll be different if there was a Caucasian sitting in this particular stead. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying to you, over the course of our history in this country, as I come to understand and develop, I have little to no confidence in leadership from the neo-colonialists. Hubert Ingraham has really differentiated himself and set himself aside as it relates to application and production. But there's still some skepticism associated with his association. Yeah. I looked at it and I said, how come all these smart men can't do nothing? Yeah, man, we're not talking about the incremental change. I'm telling you that. The country is not looking for you to be able to do, to step in for the maintenance. That's what we celebrate. We celebrate maintenance. We celebrate maintenance. You come back to us with a course that you should have taken 18 months before. That's what you do. 18 months before. You should have charted this course 36 months before. And when you finally decide to do it, we're supposed to celebrate that. 120 months later. 120 months later, you've decided to be able to step into this thing. And we should celebrate you now. For innovation, for the determination, for being able to have the fortitude to do these particular things. And no one understands that the Bahamian people deserve more. That's just me. Let's talk about these things. Let me take a quick break, guys. I'm going to be right back after this.
Foundation. Foundation.
The Foundation. We'll be back right after this.
The Foundation.
It's time to upgrade the way you enjoy at-home entertainment. Alive Fiber is here. Enjoy all your favorite channels and streaming apps, all at lightning-fast internet speeds with affordable bundles, and it's only a click away. Visit www.alivefiber.com to sign up now. Stay connected, live your life. It's good to be alive.
Calling all beer lovers. Get ready for Portside Pints. Join us on Saturday, June the 21st from 1 p.m. to 9 p.m. at Nassau Cruise Port to sample beers from all around the world with live music and amazing Bahamian food. $10 general admission includes a free Portside Pints beer mug, or take it up a notch and check out our exclusive VIP lounge. That's the Portside Pints Beer Festival, June 21st at Nassau Cruise Port. Don't miss it. Visit Facebook or Instagram for details.
Clinic. Care is everything. So when your primary purpose is to care for the world, you'd start with your community. Until you're accessible anywhere. You make complexities your specialties and put compassion before anything else. All to redefine what's possible. For everyone, everywhere. For every care in the world. Cleveland Clinic.
Now let me see now. 326 EPIC. Hello? Hello? This Epic Eckert Battery. This Miss Beulah from round the corner. I hear you're selling tires now on Wolf Road 2.
Praise the Lord. It's about time. I live Fox Hill and Fire Trail. It's too far.
That ain't all. They open Monday to Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Sunday and holiday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m.
My brother Sam, he's a hacker, and he could go right there and get fixed up.
Call us at 326-EPIC. We ship also to the Family Island.
Popeyes is making your pickle dreams come true.
For a limited
time, enjoy the bold, tangy, and unmistakable flavor of pickles on some of your favorite menu items. Choose from the pickle glaze sandwich, pickle glaze wings, or our crispy fried pickles. Whether you like your pickles crispy or saucy, we've got something for you. So stop by your nearest Popeyes to enjoy the pickle feast today.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
Video 9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation. Okay, guys, we're back. The lines are open. If you wish to be able to call in, you know the numbers, but the text line's open also, 427-422-4796, 422-4796. Let me see if I can read this. It says, I've said for a while that what's happening in the Bahamas is very disturbing. Do you remember Terminator, Rise of the Machine? I've been saying to myself, we are seeing before us the Bahamas, Rise of the Dumb. Now, you didn't say these words, but it's precisely what you're saying. Loudmouth, non-intellectual, unlearned, and unenlightened. You don't have to have a degree or letters behind your name to be intellectual. You just need to have the ability to think. And these guys simply can't. You go to them with an idea, and the first thing they say is, I like it, but if I support this, it'll have to be my idea. Which is strange to me. You clearly didn't get the seat because you could think. So why all of a sudden, after you get the title, originator of all great ideas? This is Texas coming through, right? I gotta laugh at that because you may not know. You may not know that there is this sort of an idea that existed, I think, from the late 70s, maybe the early 80s, where those persons who are bringing in these great ideas for the country, I can't verify this, but this is the conversations that we have, that we're having in our society, that they get a portion, 10% or percentage of this particular thing. So they get a kickback to be able to say that because you brought this particular thing to the forefront, we want to be able to give you something. So the government of the Bahamas provides you, well, I can't say the government of the Bahamas, I'm saying based upon the conversations that we've been having with all the old fellas I've been talking to, they would call somebody the 10% man. And I smile, and you smile, because you know who I'm talking about, but we ain't get to talk with no name. They say the fella's a 10% man. Everything he bring in, he need 10% of that. Every time he introduce you, he need 10% of that. And so the idea of being able to introduce this concept to the government and take full ownership for it is not because they have the intellectual capacity and the wherewithal. It's simply because they're looking for, in my view, the potential kickback or the possible kickback that could exist in these particular areas. And so this is what you grapple with. This is what we're fighting with. This is what we're that's happening. Does the disastrous Mr. Mitchell think that we're public, that we, the public, are idiots? Anyway, let me not get into that. Let me read this one. Now, this one isn't for me, but they sent it to me. And I'm sure this is Rudy. Rudy, what's up? So it says, the political climate in the Bahamas has been contaminated by persons of greed and entitlement for a lifetime. The Bahamas is rich with resources, but these persons want all of the wealth. Check what all they own and sponge off. A luxury 100% for those few political persons, family and friends and lovers. This is from Rudy in Grand Bahama. Now, I just want to be very clear with you. That's not how I class my people in politics. I don't class them like that. I don't. The political climate in the Bahamas has changed, contaminated by persons of greed and entitlement. I don't think that they're greedy and entitled. I don't. I got to be honest with you. I don't believe that the people that I know are greedy and entitled. They're desperate. They need to be able to get back in this position. Y'all really don't. Y'all don't want to talk with me. No one wants to speak about these things. These things are swept under the rug, and no one says these things. These people need to win two times. You hear me? I need you to hear me. These people that live in the same Bahamas that you live in, who have the same rowing with NIB, why I only get $150 this month, how am I supposed to live off $150? They need to win two times to get their pension. Y'all ain't hear me. Oh, Jesus. These people need to win two times. They ain't greedy. They ain't entitled. They ain't nothing except hopeful and praying to Jesus that they can win two times. Because if life lasts and they don't drop down dying, they need to live. And they need to figure out a way they can take care of their bills and their families. They need to win twice. They need to win twice. Now, there's some of them who ain't worrying about that because they're straight, you know. But these people who come from lowly means, like a great deal of us, need to win twice. I don't think that they're greedy. I think that they're desperate. And if that desperation has placed them in the position, some of them, now I don't give them right or wrong for this, but I don't get them right for it. Let me put it like that. If their desperation has placed them in the position where they are a slave to the rhythm of the frequency that it goes FNM PLP, FNM PLP, and you come in on an FNM wave. Watch me now. You may be gone in the next wave. My good friend Vaughn Miller was saved when he came in on an FNM wave and he jumped ship from the FNM and went independent and pitched a concept on a PLP wave. Two waves he got his pension. Praise God. Talk to me. You all don't want to have this conversation with me. These men are in the position that they can take care of themselves and their families. They need to get their pension. And the only way you get that, you serve twice. I don't know. Well, I guess I can get the information. It could be non-consecutive. It doesn't have to be consecutively. Non-consecutive. And immediately you could be able to access that. So I don't think the title of greedy can be lathered on all these men. Many of them are just in a lowly position of maintenance. They're in their constituency. They're in their constituency offices. They're trying to figure out how to beat this wave, how to beat this particular thing. They're trying to beat back the concept of being able to get the FNM back in to retain a position to take care of themselves and their families. That's it. That's it. And so I wouldn't call all of them greedy. I can't do that. Some of them are my very good friends. And even though they get their pretty suits on and whatnot, they ain't got it. They don't have it. So I just want to be very clear. Let me take a telephone call. Caller, go ahead.
Hey, Howard.
Hey, what's happening, my brother?
Well, listen up. I like listening to you. Praise Negro God. Leadership. I like the way you made that comparison to the avalanche and person's homes covered in snow, and it would be probably, or in whatever is covered with, it'll be quicker that they get...
They could get that out before you fix Pinewood.
Before they fix Pinewood. Well, I will take that a little further for you, my friend. It would be easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle before Pinewood is... All right?
So you mean a rich man get to heaven before they fix Pinewood? Okay, go ahead.
How about you just bring out this in me, man? You know, you got to stop it.
Go ahead.
But historically, Howard, if you really look at it, in spite of the slavery that we've gone through, some people say, you know, you only gravitate to the lessons you want or you need in life. So let's say there was 400 years a lesson that we still ain't learned from. But I feel as though, and this is just the way I feel, if I'm not talking about black man and white man, I'm talking about blackness and whiteness.
Mm-hmm.
Simply because I had a African leader, company I worked for, and he told me, this is how you do it. Look, I put you in charge. If, because I know you're going to take something, that's because you're in charge. But here's how you do it. And he told me how to do it. You work so hard that if you take 5%, I won't miss it.
Mm.
But you see, these Negroes,
mm.
they ain't putting in the effort to even work hard enough to take 5% and I don't miss it. They won.
That's heavy. It's exactly what you're saying, because if you read Sabah's article today, he's saying how these people in Singapore perform and then they was paid. But these people locally ain't performing. And you're asking me to give them money?
Yeah. So you know, Negro leadership hasn't worked. This colonial democracy will never work. And this is just what we're stuck with. Now we're going to march. Look at this. What? Man, Howard, I can't use the words I would like to use. But when you have an underground radio show, let's have a chat.
I like that. All right. All right. Thank you, my brother. Thank you. That's the way I live, though. If we have the underground radio show, they come right by my house and knock on them. But let's talk about this. I think it's clear that we do that. It's clear that we have this kind of a clear conversation about these things. So Bass is in here and advocating for an idea to be able to get a superb service from men who never showed us inclination from a dispensation of a diluted intellect that exists within our politics, right? That's just who we is now. We are in the dispensation of diluted intellect that exists within our politics, not everyone. We can't put everybody in the bucket, but my God, the bucket, three quarters the way full. So you figure out what that other 25% is that doesn't exist in this bucket. That's on you. But we are in a dispensation of diluted intellect in our country as it relates to leadership. And it's not only confined to politics. It's in the church. It's in your pulpit. It is in the unions. It's in almost every subsector of where we find organizations being able to come together and speak up and on behalf of the body of us in the country. Here, and telling us about being able to identify these things, but our conversation should be about the employees that he has at Island Lock TV and Island Lock across the board. Y'all don't never want to talk to me like this, you know. Sabas makes hundreds of millions of dollars. And the only product he provides you with is hope. That's it. He is churning out big bucks and providing you a non-tangible, elusive product that is for the majority of participants and who are addicted to being able to chase this proverbial rabbit tail, this rabbit foot, luck. And the employees that you have in there, I would like to know whether or not they are, like you stated. I have to look for it. If they're compensated competitively with salaries benchmarked to top earners, I'd like to know. Y'all don't never want to talk like this, I know. Yeah, your mouth get tight just now. Because it's easy for us to talk about everybody else. But are you paying the people who work for you, including Island Lock TV, including Island Lock, the casino area, are you paying them competitively for the prices that exist in this marketplace, if not nationally or internationally, at least regionally? And if you are, then every one of us need to shut up. But if you're not, then this sounds like rather contradiction. And if it's contradiction, were you sent on behalf of those persons? Anyway, praise God. Let me take this quick commercial break and be right back after this.
The Foundation with Howard Grant. We'll be back right after this.
Great news! Ron's Electric Motors' new location on Cowpen Road, right next to Island Lock, is open Saturdays and Sundays. So for those needing repairs on electric motors, generators, welding machines, water pumps, battery charges, electric lifts, transformers, and power tools, Ron's Cowpen Road location can have you up and running on weekends. Don't forget, you can still visit Ron's Electric Motors on Wolf Road and Claridge Road, and now Ron's new location on Cowpen Road. Dial 356-0249-35267.
Fancy this. One-of-a-kind Pesto Club sandwiches from Burger King Nassau like you've never tasted before. Choose from a juicy chicken breast or a 100% flame-grilled beef patty topped with irresistible fresh pesto spread, cheese, crisp bacon, lettuce, and tomato. Or start your mornings right with the Pesto Chicken Croissantwich for breakfast. It's a delicious chicken patty topped with cheese, tomato, and fresh pesto spread on a classic buttery BK croissant. The Pesto Club sandwiches are new, fresh, and only at Burger King Nassau.
Now let me see now. 326 EPIC. Hello? Hello? This Epic? Eckert Battery? This Miss Beulah from round the corner. I hear you're selling tires now on Wolf Road 2.
Praise the Lord. It's about time. I live Fox Hill and Fire Trail. It's too far.
That ain't all. They open Monday to Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Sunday and holiday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m.
My brother Sam, he's a hacker, and he could go right there and get fixed up.
Call us at 326-EPIC. We ship also to the Family Island.
Father's Day is just around the corner, and there's no better place to find the perfect gift than Kelly's Home. Shower your dad with a gift from Kelly's House and Home's Father's Day sale Friday, June 6th through Saturday, June 14th. Save 20% off selected tool sets, luggage, and fishing, diving, and camping gear, except on net items. Shop Kelly's House and Home on Saturday, June 14th, and you could win a fabulous gift basket for dad. Visit our Facebook page for more information. Kelly's House and Home's Father's Day sale, June 6th. Happy Father's Day, all with love from Kelly's House and Home.
It's a Bahama Austin Edge party. We got everything you need to have for a party. Come see for yourself. Balloons and banners, gifts and toppers, forks, plates, toys, chairs. Yes, we do rental. Located on East Plaza, right off Bridgehouse Drive. And we can order anything for you online. So party smart, party early, party often with Bahama.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation. And we're back, guys. 323-623-2325-431-63254259. Anywhere for the Family of Islands, 242-300-5720. Hit me up, 422-479. Be a member of Parliament. How on the hockey stick, what I think is the HE double hockey sticks. How are the hockey sticks? Can we pay private sector salaries to members of parliament when there is absolutely no qualification required to get the position? Let's be fair, okay? Let's be fair. This is, you remember when they was having a international issue? I can't remember whether or not it was Sam Bankman-Fried or whether it was Anna Nicole, right? But I was watching international news, and they were starting to talk about Bahamian lawmakers, right? Bahamian lawmakers. They didn't call them politicians, right? They wanted to stress the position that they had and the authority that they had for being able to steer the course that the country would go in. So they spoke of our politicians in the capacity of Bahamian lawmakers. And I had to grapple with that because locally we only hear Bahamian politicians. But these people sit at the helm for reform and really steer our country in a particular direction. And so don't demean their position and demean their qualifications into nothingness, into the sense of oblivion. But the truth of the matter is that it has nothing to do with their qualification. All of them are qualified to be in the position. But their qualification has nothing to do with the fruit that they're yielding. That's it. That's all. We're only talking about fruit. The tree was planted. It's giving us all the leaves, but there's no fruit here. I think from afar off, we were dazzled by the leaves of the tree. We were dazzled by the leaves on the fig tree from afar off. And so we chose, even before we got to good proximity, that fig tree. This looked good. And for years, they have not yielded fruit. Every year you come back and you say, well, baby, we can give you another chance. We can give you, but it has not yielded fruit. This has nothing to do with qualifications. They're strong, they're capable, they're strategically placed, they're blossoming in certain areas, but they're not yielding fruit.
plus $100,000 in their bank accounts for their constituencies, plus an extra if they are cabinet ministers and parliamentary secretaries and board members. Taxpayers also cover full medicals for the MPs. Come on. We pay far more than we are getting for these MPs who appear to want to enter government to get rich and at the expense of the Bahamian taxpayers. There are a lot of members of parliament who got the $100,000 and didn't perform. You don't know where the hell the money gone in their constituency. They're members of parliament, and we ain't got to go into it. Maybe we do a show about it. There are members of parliament who would have gotten that $100,000 and did absolutely squat in their constituency. Nothing. Where the money gone? We don't know. But that's a nice car, sir. I like that. Okay. Your house looks nice. You moved? Okay. We don't know where the money gone as it relates to in the constituency. I remember one time ago when you got this, there was an accountability aspect that you had to, Shivago. How I know this? Shivago used to call my mother. And I had to set the thing up. She had to answer for every dime that she spent. But I don't know what it now. That accountability element is out the window. Let's see if we can be able to get another text. This says, their ambitions outweigh their abilities. We need to stop accepting mediocrity. Getting swing for salty chicken and a t-shirt and rum. This is a text is coming through. It says, tell Sabas, sit small. Ambassadorship given away. Y'all just need to stop being indecent. Howard talking about corruption and nothing being done and the collective not protesting in numbers is worse than corruption itself. Continue to let the police run away with our rights and see where it gets us. This is a text that's coming through, right? This is minimum wage. This is a text that's coming through. You'll leave Sabas alone. I just wanted to have a very clear conversation of balance. That's it. I accept what he says. I appreciate what he says. And there must be consideration to what is happening. There is no accountability for the $100,000. $28,000 that you get for the full medical that you get, for all these particular things that you get, you're not performing. And we're not talking about those members of parliament that we know. We're not talking about Fred Mitchell. We're not talking about the Deputy Prime Minister, Chester Cooper. We're not talking about those people that we know working. We know these people working. We're watching them work. We're not talking about Alfred says that we just saw a little news clipping on our news. I think he was in China. We're not talking about people who are relentlessly in the position of working. We're not talking about them. We're not. We're talking about the men and women that we don't see. And we say, oh, Jesus, I didn't know he was a member of parliament. Where did he come from? Oh, my God, I don't know. These people are not working. Telephone call. Caller, go ahead. Next call. Caller, go ahead. Hello?
Howard.
Hey.
Yes, guess what?
Hey.
What you were talking about and what that text is, perversely, it's the ultimate responsibility, Howard. And look, people don't, like you say, and you continue to say, and I continue to say too, people don't like to have real conversations. It's the ultimate responsibility of the prime minister of the day, Howard, right? However, there should be a national policy in place, established, which all prime ministers adhere by, which we do not have, which is why we continue to have the slackness, the lack of performance, or the non-performance in government, out of government, through administration in this country, right?
Yeah.
And let me end with this, Howard. You know, maybe several months back, I spoke with you, maybe a couple of years back, I spoke with you about the delivery unit, right, Howard?
Yeah.
And I told you that was something that was birthed under the Christie administration in a discussion with myself and Butch Skavala, Mr. Butch Skavala, right? Former Commodore of the Rob Arms Defense Force. Look, See, when you don't know, Howard, when you don't have the vision, when it was never birthed in you, you're lost as a top. You're just spinning around. These kinds of things should fall under that unit, Howard. Who should have the responsibility to ensure that the government is ticking from top
Anton, to bottom? Anton, I appreciate the telephone call, my brother. I got to go. You got 2 seconds, but you know that yesterday I said it, today I can say it, and anytime it come up again, I can say it. We often have a conversation about the theoretical concepts and ideas that should exist in these spaces, but we're not looking at the truth. These men do not want accountability. Every section of the way, every step of the way, they are shaving the accountability so they can do as they please. Every section, every step of the way, they shave the accountability. They deny, they reject, they cancel accountability to the community that placed them in the position. And the only recourse that we have is to vote them out. But we expect the next set to do better based upon the promise they made, wrapped up in their logo, wrapped up in their theme. This is a new day. We expect transparency. And we get the exact same thing that the last one did because we don't have the measures in place for accountability. Let me take 15 seconds. 15 seconds. Carla, go ahead.
Hello, good day, Howard. Let me run my 15 seconds really fast. Yeah, Howard, I just want to say first that Sabath, with all due respect, I don't know the man, but he's in no position to sit in the seat that he sat in and made the statement that he sat in. He's so high up off the ground from the common man that he even forgot what it's like down there. And that's why it's so easy for him to make that statement. I want to take the next 5 seconds and say something to you, Howard. I want to encourage you, Howard. You're moving in a pretty strong and magnificent direction, and that's the direction in truth. I'm going to promote Howard's behavior. I don't know Howard. I'm promoting Howard. I'm promoting behavior of truth and your ability and willingness to speak truth to power. And Howard, with everything I get, I want to encourage you to stay on that road. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, my brother. I do appreciate you. We're going to continue to be able to push forward and have these transparent conversations. It's going to be unique. I don't see things how people see it. But I engage you in conversation, and I thank you for being able to engage me. We're going to continue these conversations tomorrow. It's Wednesday. We're going to see you tomorrow. God spare our life right here on The Foundation. Foundation.